Next up, Dr. Marsha Ori is a PhD and MPH. She's a Regents and Distinguished Professor in the Department of Health Promotion and Community Health Sciences at the School of Rural Public Health at Texas A&M Health Center. She's also the director of the SRPH Program on Healthy Aging and academic partner for the Community Research Center for Public Health. Dr. Ori was lead evaluator on the National Study of Chronic Disease Self-Management and will be presenting findings about this study.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased that Emily went first because you've described some of the activities. What I'm going to be describing is part of that 210-212 R initiative. But I'm going to be focusing on the National Chronic Disease Self-Management Program, looking at one-year changes, particularly for older adults. So as any large study, there are lots of partners. Our three major partners, NCOA, Texas A&M, and also Stanford. So we worked with Nancy Whitelaw, also Kate Lorig, but then we have some analysts that we've worked with, Sungnam An and Matthew Smith from Georgia and Memphis, and no conflicts to report. The study rationale, you already gave some wonderful things, so I'll just really point to the importance of self-management as really an essential factor in preventing and controlling chronic conditions. We've seen, as we've just heard, that there's an emergence of all kinds of evidence-based program, but now with the sort of new federal guidelines, there's really incentives for the Aging Services Network to include evidence-based programming. So the policy and the political context has changed. What were our study objectives? First, to describe the characteristics of the older adults, that is people who were 65 and older, who enrolled in this national study, to look at primary outcomes, and then to look at secondary outcomes. We have published some general studies out of this initiative, but the focus here that's unique is we are separating out only those people who are 65 and older, and so that's just a little around half of the major study. So this data is part of this national study. It is a pre-post longitudinal design. What we realize is that there have been lots of randomized clinical trials. You don't need to do this in a dissemination study. Our participants were older adults in workshops. There were 22 licensed sites that represented 17 different states who were delivering chronic disease self-management programs. There were almost 700 participants at baseline and then just a little over 500 at the 12-month assessment period. So what we were really doing for the primary outcomes is we're looking at the impact of CDSMP on the essential task for self-management, and there are three. The first is talking about social or role functioning, and we're measuring this by looking at interference with your normal activities, recreation activities, household chores, or errands. There's also emotional functioning, which we're measuring by a well-known depression scale, and then there's medical management, communication with your doctors. So we've already described what CDSMP is, but I think what makes CDSMP different from other groups is it's really saying that those people with chronic conditions have similar self-management tasks. And you can see here the type of topics that are covered, the dealing with frustration, fatigue, pain, isolation, to using medication, effectively communicating your concerns, and also evaluating new treatments. So you can see the topics being covered. The data analysis, what we do is we're comparing baseline characteristics, and it's really people with complete data at baseline versus those with complete data at the 12 months. We're looking at change from baseline to 12 months, and we're looking at appropriate analyses. We have a statistician who works on longitudinal data, so our outcomes, when you look at them, are adjusted for the basic demographics as well as number of chronic conditions. We'll give you the raw means and the standard deviations for people who like to see that. And just know that the adjusted changes are different for the primary outcomes, they're linear mixed models, but then for count data, and this is what I think is sort of novel about our analytical strategy, we use more sophisticated analyses to account for the distribution of the data. So just looking at the baseline characteristics, and let's just look at the left-hand column first. We see, as in almost every evidence-based study, they're primarily female. We were so pleased in looking at race and ethnicity about, 60% are non-Hispanic white. But what that means is 40% are minority or ethnic backgrounds, as you can see, African American, Latino, Hispanic. Workshop completion rates, as in the national studies, what we're showing is that about 80% of people complete successfully chronic disease self-management, and that is labeled as meeting 4 out of the 6 workshop sessions. The age was a range, you can see, but here in our study, because we're really looking at 65 and older, the average is almost 75. Education might look high, but again, there's a range of educational levels. But the important point is to look at these comorbidities. People don't come to this program with one condition. They come with almost 3, and that's just an average. So then if you're looking at the second 2 columns, you see only on one variable, workshop completion, that's how people, as you can imagine, that those who start are different than those who complete the assessment, because those who complete the assessment are more likely to have attended more sessions. Let's look now at the 3 primary outcomes. And if you look at them, it's role function, depression, communication with doctor. The error sort of tells you if it's down, the lower number from baseline to 12 is good. If it's up, you want to see a positive number. What you can see by looking at the p-values is we had a significant impact on all 3 of these major factors in self-management. But if you look at the effect size, you'll see they're very small or modest impacts, with the biggest one being depression. I think this is very typical of chronic disease self-management. Now, if we're looking at the secondary outcomes, you see, again, just looking that almost every single variable you will see is significantly different. Looking at the effect size, you see, again, the effect sizes are in the modest range, with the biggest effect size being on sleep. And we know how important sleep is to the quality of life of older adults, so we weren't surprised to see one of our strongest effects on sleep. These last 3 variables are significant. They're part of the CDC Healthy Days scales. But because they are count variables, they have a Poisson analysis, so it's really not as appropriate to look at effect size. So what are the conclusions? That participation in these workshops have many positive outcomes. We've seen it in terms of the primary outcomes, those tasks that are needed for self-management. We've seen with the secondary outcomes, whether we're talking perceived health, your illness symptomatology, or your days being healthy. I didn't present this data, but when comparing with previous studies where we looked at younger populations, and that is people 50 to 64, we see that you still see significant impacts on the 65 and older, but those effect sizes seem to be slightly attenuated. And I believe that's because the younger populations tend to be more likely to be the minorities, the ethnic minorities, and they're starting off with more chronic conditions. So again, it's important to take a life course approach by looking at what these programs can do for older people as well as younger people. We really need to understand who's benefiting, whether it's the older people and within the older population, who's getting what kind of benefits. I think that's an important, still unanswered research question. So what are the implications? We think because of these findings and the success that it's really important to think about expanding this program. But what that means is the infrastructure that we've just heard, building an infrastructure that will have ready availability and access to self-management programs. So many different recommendations, and these are not government recommendations. These are private author recommendations. I should disclose that. We really want to have dedicated financial streams for the programs. We also realize that just one agency can't do this alone, so we want better cooperation across different sectors. In this case, aging, public health, healthcare. This is what it's going to take to build a sustainable system, and we heard that in the first talk, too. So as I said, this is one of many kinds of papers that are coming out, and most of these papers, at least the abstracts, are ending back up with the NCOA resource tool. So thank you so much.